And time now to catch up with Jeff from Acela Wines. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning to all your listeners.
Oh, mate, nice to talk to you.
Yeah, and this beautiful sunny day here, Peter. A little chilly overnight. Had a little frost again last night, but boy, have the days been spectacular.
Haven't they been good?
And I was just looking at the weather forecast just before we went on the air, Peter. Forecast here, 26 degrees on Friday.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, please.
Yes. Well, it's been in the 20s, low 20s. It's been chilly at night. But then again, you know, who minds a nice, refreshing night when you're going to have a winter's, midwinter's day in the 20s?
Well, mate, you can always jump under the doona.
Well, that's it. We still do use the doona, Peter, but there's a thing now called electric blankets.
Oh, right. So you get sleep and you're with the Sparky all night.
Yeah. No, we actually haven't turned our heat on all winter because we have, as you know, that magnificent central brick double-sided fireplace.
Oh, faces. How brilliant is that?
Yeah, a family room on one side and the living room on the other side. And, of course, it burns all night. And it keeps – we've got quite a large house here, and it keeps the house nice all night. And if it drops below zero outside, it might get down to, you know, 15 or 16 degrees in the house. But, you know, you don't really notice it too much, Peter. You keep a sweater on, and it very quickly warms up in the morning. But we don't sleep with the electric blanket on. It gets too hot, even on number one. But it's nice to have it on for 15 minutes before you jump into that bed, I'll tell you.
I have a friend who runs the electric blanket all night.
I don't know. I don't think it's good for your health to heat your kidneys like that all night. You know, I don't know. In fact, we maybe should do some research on it, Peter. But I remember as a child when we used to stand in front of the open fire in those days, and my mother used to always say, "Get out of there! You're going to melt your kidneys."
God love her.
Yeah, so that was her reason you couldn't stand in front of a fire.
All right. What have you been researching this week, mate?
Peter, you might have to move. I don't know where you're located, but actually this is a study that came out of the University of Newcastle.
Ah.
And they have published a paper in the correct journals, and they've statistically found that people that live near or in areas of high fast food outlets are dying at a much greater rate.
Well, I don't have fast food all that often, but when I do, I pick and choose.
Yes, yes. No, they found that for every fast food outlet in your neighborhood, four extra people per 100,000 die. So if you've got 20 fast foods in your neighborhood around, you know, and they didn't define the neighborhood, but I'd say it's probably within a kilometer or two, then you're talking about 80 extra deaths. And they found it consistent all over New South Wales, in small towns, everywhere that they did this research. And they're statisticians, they were able to take out the effects of disease and, you know, other exercise activities and things, and smoking and drinking and all that, and came up with the conclusion, Peter, that living, and I guess it's convenience, I guess if you take it to the extreme and you had no neighbors except fast food outlets, then you'd be eating fast food all the time. And I think if you recall, we did that study out of Paris, I think, where they found that, you know, some of the effects for cardiovascular and that were like 30% higher mortality rates, or at least cardiovascular disease. I'm not sure. It eventually ends in mortality, I guess. But if you eat only junk food, if you remember that study, we had it divided up into those that always eat healthy and organic or try to, and those that do when they can, and those that, you know, sometimes do, and those that never do. And the never do, they publish the results early, remember, Peter, because the never do at the bottom, it was going to be an 18-year study, and I think they figured out there's going to be nobody left in the bottom group. So the incidence was like 35% higher. You know, so at that rate, they figured they better publish the study early, and because it was quite startling, the statistics. So,
mate, yeah. It's interesting that you do that with fast food, but there again, you know, I'm going to be the elephant in the room, I suppose. But what about all the processed food that we get with all the extra insecticide sprayed on it and everything else? Surely to goodness, that has to have some sort of effect.
It does, Peter. And in fact, we did do, if you recall, a study on processed foods.
Yep.
And while we're talking here, I'm going to see if I can find it. Yes, here we are. Processed food. This study was done in Europe, and we actually did this program a few months ago for your listeners that are paying attention. Maybe we should.
I was paying attention. I'm just stirring the pot.
They found, and this was a big study as well. In fact, I think this is the one that we were joking about. Okay, this came out of France. And they found that for every 10% increase in the proportion of ultra-processed food in your diet, the coronary heart disease cardiovascular, coronary heart, and cerebrovascular disease, which I assume is in the brain, increased for every 10% increase, 12%, 13%, and 11%. So if you got 30% in your diet, Peter, you're talking about 36%, 40%, and 33% increase in cardiovascular disease. If you're eating one-third processed food, you know, you're a third more likely to have cardiovascular disease. Eating half, you're 50% more likely, according to this statistic.
Heavens.
The bottom result was that higher consumption of older processed food, more than four servings per day, was associated with a 62% increased risk of all causes of mortality compared with lower consumption of two servings a day. So you can have two hamburgers a day, Peter, but if you eat four, you're done.
If you eat four, you're a gut.
Yeah, no, these are ultra-processed foods, so just... So your listeners know that ultra-processed foods are packaged meats, any type of processed canned foods, any types of food like that that's been processed in a warehouse before they were canned. It wouldn't include natural canned things like tuna and salmon and those types of things.
Oh, I love tuna.
Yeah, unless you are buying them with salt. You can buy them in salt water. They sometimes do that in seawater.
Yeah.
They can them. But unless you're buying, you got to look on the ingredient. You don't want all this monosodium glutamate and calcium chloride, which is salt. Sodium chloride, which is salt.
I was going to say calcium chloride. Good grief.
Yeah, no, so I don't want to be eating calcium chloride, sodium.
You have good teeth.
Yeah, exactly. So it's... You know, you don't know when you get up in the morning. Ultra-processed foods, unless you're very careful, include breakfast, can include breakfast cereals. You've got to look at the label when you're thinking that you're buying something that's natural and good for you. You can slip it into your diet without knowing. A piece of cheesecake's an ultra-processed food. A cookie, ultra-processed food. So if you're having four servings a day of those types of things, you're 62% more likely to have a cardiovascular incident.
That's a worry, isn't it?
It is, because in our day and age, Peter, foods of convenience have become, you know, the standard in a lot of households. And, you know, it's easy to get home, pull the frozen pizza out of the freezer and chuck it in the oven, and psh, there's your one of the ultra processed foods. And then if you have a bowl of ice cream after it, there's another one.
Oh, stop it. Mate, I think, you know, it's a double-edged sword, really, because if you look at the earnings that people have to make in order to survive now, usually both partners are working. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what do you do, you know? Do you employ someone to cook your meal for you? And that's counterproductive. So we're really stuck, aren't we?
We are, Peter, and it does take a bit of planning. You know, you've got to plan tomorrow night's meal, you know, today or the day before, so that you know what you're doing. And there's no question, I think, that fruits and vegetables should play a much larger part than they do. Mm-hmm. You know, especially for lunch, fruits and vegetables, of course. It's so easy and quick to steam vegetables. You put them into a steamer, they take like 4 or 5 minutes, and they're done.
You can actually do it in the microwave, too.
You can, but Peter, we did that thing. Make sure you put it in a ceramic bowl if you're doing it in a microwave, and never, never cover with cling wrap, because plastics leach phthalates, and phthalates are killing us.
That's all I don't need is, you know, the plastic shriveled up in amongst my broccoli or something.
The only trouble is you can't see phthalates, Peter. And as we did the study that came out of Europe, and our general intelligence has been going down since 1975. And I think you and I, the leading researchers in the world, determined that was because of phthalates, Peter.
Yeah. And, amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm joking, but we did those four shows, including the one from Southern California, where they fed minute traces of phthalates to pregnant rats. 100% of the progeny had attention deficit syndrome and cognitive developmental issues. So they starved to death, excuse me, because they couldn't find food. Excuse me, Peter, it's cold here. excuse me. They couldn't find food that a unaffected rat would find in 5 minutes.
Heavens.
And so that's, and as we said in that show, and since, Peter, never, never, never put a recycled Chinese container in the microwave with food in it.
That's right. Because
those things, by the time you take it out of the microwave, there's enough phthalates in that food, virtually to make it poisonous.
Heavens.
Yeah, it's the cheaper, we did that study, we did that program on the study Harvard did, and they checked the most expensive microwave plastics that they could find. They all leached phthalates. So you can imagine what the cheap ones do.
Yeah, imagine that, mate. You were your favorite meal mixed with all that rubbish.
Yeah, well, that's of course what's doing us. You know, as we know, male fertility is down 50% in the last 80 years. Our IQ has been going down decade by decade for 5 decades in a row, and our general health, we're living longer because we've got better medical treatment, Peter. Not because our bodies are particularly doing any better, because, you know, as we just said, 62% increase in mortality from eating processed foods. And it's going to get worse, not better.
Well, mate, you notice things like people walking in front of trams. You know, I mean, the tram's bigger than you. Don't do it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's behavior that can be controlled. It takes a little bit of planning. You got to have fruits and vegetables, or you got to have salads, or whatever. Meat-wise, you can stop at Coles or Woolworths, and you can buy, and IGA and other places, you can buy a chicken, pre-cooked chicken, for $10 to $12. You know, feed 4 or 5 people easily.
Yep.
Not many ways you can buy meat. And then chicken is particularly good for you, though the skin's not all that good for you, I guess. But, it's a leanish meat. You can't eat it every day, but you've got to do a little bit of planning to be able to do those things. So, and smoked meats, they don't have nitrites and things in them, you've got to really be careful about what you're doing. But smoked meats keep for a couple of weeks, whereas fresh meats, of course, only keep for a day or two. So, but I think parents with young children, Peter, because you remember we did that, we found that children as young as 3 were showing cardiovascular disease. That was really
really cruel.
Yeah, that was related to pollution, actually, that study that we did. But look, if processed foods have this effect on adults, they probably haven't checked on children. But I'll bet you they're having the same effect on children.
Yeah. Well, I notice now we get things like we use common sense when we come to a corner. But there's things on the footpath that say, look out before you step out. I've got your disease now. I mean, why do they need to put that there? I mean, doesn't your brain tell you to do that?
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Maybe it's there partially for children, too, to remind them. Because they're, we've all nearly hit children running out between cars or stepping on
what are the parents doing?
Yeah, I'm talking very young children, very young. And of course, that kills more dogs than anything. I don't, like our buddy here, I don't do much with him because he, and we have cars in and out of here all the time, the cellar door. And he doesn't chase them, which is good, because the other dogs, I just about had to string them up by the toenails to stop them from chasing cars. But he's got to learn to live with cars because it's a fact.
Yeah, it's part of his life.
Exactly. And if you keep him away from cars all the time, one day when he's, and that was that silly Ned. He used to chase the cars up the road. And before we'd go out the gate, he'd jump across the grid and race out into the middle of the road. Well, that's a 80 kilometer an hour road, Peter.
That's right. Yeah. Wham.
Used to amaze me that he never got bowled over. So,
Jakey.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the health food, Peter. That's the fact. And health food just means natural food.
And it means good. It means the farmers' markets. And it also means getting some organic wine to go with those lovely things from the farmers' market.
It does, exactly, Peter. Because in these processed foods and junk food that we're talking about here, there's a whole pile of chemicals as well. As we well know, when you spray herbicides and pesticides on crops, it ends up in your food. And in very large levels, according to Peter.
Yeah.
As we said before, protection and ethical treatment of animals, I think they are. But they do a lot of studies, which is good. And our basic food supply, Peter, is loaded with chemicals that we often talk about, the dirty dozen. So, and you hit the nail on the head. Go to your market on Sunday morning, look the guy in the eye and say, did you spray those fruits and vegetables? He says, yes, you go to the next guy and ask him.
That's right. Until you get exactly what you need, take it home and steam it. Don't boil it. I don't know how many people I've caught. They throw everything into a pot, throw in salt, loads of water and let it boil away. And I thought, boy, what a waste.
Well, it is unless you drink the water. If you're making soup, it's okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I usually, even if I steam, when I steam, right, I use that water. And you can make a lovely sauce or gravy or everything out of it. So it's win-win.
Yeah, it is. And the other thing, of course, if you're buying processed foods from the, or actually mass-produced fruits and vegetables from the supermarket, they can have definitely 30% less nutrition. They can have up to 50% because the nutrition in fruits and vegetables, Peter, as we've often said, is their immune system to fight off disease and insect damage.
That's right.
And if they don't have to, they don't. And so they don't develop the nutrition. We're talking now the antioxidants, flavonoids and carotenoids and vitamin C's and E's and all those things is less in sprayed fruits and vegetables. So we need to make sure that the fruits and vegetables, I think the motto is from the farm to you and not not the one that's spraying all the chemicals. Right?
That's right. And mate, we've got to get a cellar wine out to lots more people.
Yeah, no chemicals in there, Peter. And you can get it online at cellarwines.com.au. Free delivery Australia-wide, Peter. Mix and match down to a 9-pack. We're very happy to hear from our friends and to give them as much advice. And I might say again, Peter, every topic that we talk about, I keep the research article. So good. if any of your listeners, I have hundreds of them now, if any of your listeners ever say, gee, you know, where did that come from? Where did that information come from? They can get in touch with you, and I would be happy to send them the paper or to give them the reference. We only research from top universities or top medical centers, that, and we're reading from abstracts of research. Each week we try and pick something that we think that the listeners will be interested in.
Why not, mate? Otherwise, you just sit in your little pool of lack of knowledge and continue, blundering along and causing yourself grief. I don't think that's appropriate.
No, and you know what, Peter? We've changed our diet, you know, because we're all being educated as we're going along here.
Yeah, when I come out there to the winery, I mean, you've taught me a few things concerning even milk, to be much more healthy. And, well, yeah. you can see the results, you know. I mean, every time I come out there, they think, oh, God, not him again. but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I ask people now because it can be a bit overwhelming. And I just say I can give you, a brief talk about why it's important to eat fruits and vegetables that aren't sprayed. And then I can stop there. Or I can go on and tell them, Peter, that, they're 18% more likely to live past 90 if they have a couple of glasses of wine and, all sorts of other things. But I usually give them the option because I don't want to be seen like the overbearing professor drumming into the student,
Understood. Mate, it's lovely to catch up with you.
Yeah, it's great, Peter. And we'll catch up again next week.
We certainly will. Thanks very much, mate.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jeb from Acela Wine.